The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families since 9/11. Hero first responders and service members who serve our communities and our country. Those who die in the line of duty or are catastrophically injured. Veterans who fought for our nation's freedom only to return home, fall in tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Arno was killed while protecting his community, battling a warehouse fire. He left behind his wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made memories with their hero. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Support the families of America's greatest heroes, the families of fallen first responders like Jason Arno, plus Gold Star families with young children, catastrophically injured service members, and homeless veterans. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
This is Buck's First Thoughts, the news you need to get through your day in 45 minutes. Make sure you subscribe on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feels like an ominous week already, and I know it's just starting. It's Monday. Feels like things are going to go pretty badly for the country. I hope that's not true. I hope that's wrong, but how could you not feel that given we're expecting a verdict here in the Chauvin trial and the city of Minneapolis and many other cities are preparing for really bad unrest, will be the term they use. Riots is the actual term. But who knows the effect that this also is going to have on not only our politics, but on the economy and what's going to happen with the Biden administration approach to a whole range of issues that could affect you, could affect employment, could affect the dollars you have in your bank account, too, given all the inflation that might kick in. So that's why I want you to be prepared. Did you know that gold and silver, actual gold and silver, can be delivered to your door or placed directly in your IRA or 401k, tax-free and penalty-free? That's right, real gold and silver in your hands or in your retirement accounts. Why should you own real gold and silver? Because they both hold their value, especially when markets decline or fail. And during times of extreme unrest, dare I say, you want to be prepared. Oxford Gold Group is the industry leader in precious metals, offering gold and silver at the lowest prices on the market. It's a company that I trust. It's who I get my gold and silver from. They've got it into my hands, but you could also get it in your IRA. The Oxford Gold Group will beat any competitor's price on gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Call the Oxford Gold Group at 833-600-GOLD and request your free precious metals investment guide. 833-600-GOLD and speak with the Oxford Gold Group today. They'll answer all your questions and send you their precious metals investment guide. Oxford Gold, 833 800-600-GOLD, 833-600-GOLD. You can feel the tension in the country right now. There's no question about it. You had closing arguments today in the Derek Chauvin trial. Everyone understands what's at stake right now, what's likely to happen, depending on how all of this goes. And even still, if you get a guilty verdict, there may be riots. If you get a not guilty verdict, there will almost certainly be riots. Isn't it a sad state of affairs as a country that entire cities have to prepare for a hurricane of outrage based upon one trial of one individual in Minneapolis, Minnesota? I have to be concerned about what's going to happen in my neighborhood here in New York. You, wherever you are across the country, in cities, even in towns now, there have been a series of BLM protests slash riots in places that you never would have expected before last summer, and it very well could happen again. If you look at the crime data for where law enforcement feels like they've been put on their back feet, where there are fewer arrests being made and where violence has been going up, it's across the country. It's not just the major cities. It's not just the Democrat enclaves. You can't think to yourself, well, I live in a red area, or I live in a place where Second Amendment rights still count, so I don't have to worry about this. You never know. Did anybody believe that Kenosha, Wisconsin would be the site of extreme riots and, dare I say, unrest? We have to find a better term. We've got riots, which is more applicable. Unrest feels sanitized to me. I don't like calling these things unrest. I will say it sometimes just because it's in our lexicon and we don't have that many terms for this. Anarchy, mayhem, those are better words. Those are more descriptive of what's really going on. But isn't it sad that there is already, you can feel it, there is an acceptance of the almost inevitability here of riots. And what about the people who are harmed by this? What about the individuals who will lose their livelihoods, their stores, perhaps be attacked themselves physically? What about the law enforcement officers who serve their communities with honor and integrity and courage, who are going to have rocks thrown at their faces, bottles of urine splashed all over them? What about them? Oh, no. Do you think that there will be a focus on them? Do you think that there will be honest coverage from the media? Our media are cheering on the arsonists literally now. That's what actually happens. And it's not just the media. It's the Democrat Party at the very top. They excuse it. There should be a disdain. There should be a loathing of riots. People should be embarrassed that there was a riot in their town, in their city, and in any way connected to their political ideology or their party. BLM should have to say immediately, we have no part in riots. We condemn it unequivocally. It's wrong. But no, they use terms like resistance or rebellion as if they're fighting, you know, the British monarch in 1776 all over again. This is not a rebellion. This is destruction. This is rage. I hope it does not happen. I hope it doesn't occur. But we all know that it's expected and it will be excused. They are setting the groundwork for it right now. This was from over the weekend. You could see, you know, 60 Minutes had a piece. Producer Mark, if we have this one, let me know. 60 Minutes did a commercial to let you know what they're covering. We're going into a week here where it's expected BLM and Antifa will burn whole city blocks to the ground, most likely. That's the expectation. Hopefully it doesn't happen. Maybe it doesn't happen. But if you were a betting man or woman, what do you think you would place your wager on? What do you think you would do? Here's what 60 Minutes said on Sunday. Here's what they were covering on Sunday. I want you to listen very closely as we're preparing for anarchy, riots, destruction, mayhem. America's most storied news program, the journos, want to tell you about this. Play it.
They have chapters all across America and were at the center of the attack on the Capitol. Who are the Oath Keepers?
A large percentage have tactical training and operational experience in either the military or law enforcement.
60 Minutes.
Yeah. The Oath Keepers. Everyone knows that the trial ends this week. Everyone knows that we could have a verdict in a matter of days. And 60 Minutes wants its audience, wants the American people, millions and millions of them who still unfortunately watch that garbage, to be afraid of the Oath Keepers. One thing I can tell you for damn certain is that it's not going to be the Oath Keepers who are burning down neighborhoods. I don't know about this group. I don't care about this group. The point is, they're not the ones who are going to be burning down city blocks if it happens. And we all know it. It will be people acting in the name of BLM and Antifa. It will be people who are ideologically of the left. And by the way, this has nothing to do. Are there bad people on the right? Of course. Are there bad groups on the right? Yeah. But the exaggeration of the equivalency of the threat to Main Street, to everyday communities from these groups right now is absurd. But you see, they're doing this for several reasons. One is, of course, any panic porn about right-wing militant groups in America, the liberal journos, they believe this nonsense. They think that there's another insurrection coming any moment. They act like we were just a hair's breadth away from losing our government and all this sort of stuff. But the truth is, there's more to it than just the getting ratings and pushing this story that scares people. There's also creating a sense, this is at the underlying level, creating a sense that, well, they have their militants on the right. So I guess we, the Democrat Party, with BLM and Antifa, we have to have ours, too. So it's justified, you see. I mean, yeah, we've got to say whatever we have to defend the actions of the militant left because of this jury trial in Minnesota, because otherwise we'll just be handing the country over to the Oath Keepers. As if that's a serious thing, as if that's this is not an accident. They plan these things out. They've known about the trial. 60 Minutes is covering that they're covering it in this way because they're trying to shape perception right now. They're trying to let people on the left, they're trying to let Biden voters live in the delusion, because it is a delusion, that the real threat isn't from their side right now, it's from the other side. Sure, as I told you, find me a bet, find me the Vegas odds, and I will take them on how it will not be this week, Oath Keepers. And this is not to, you know, excuse or justify or say, I don't even know what this group really believes. I just know that it's not going to be burning down a CVS, a Duane Reade, a Target, looting sneakers, stealing handbags. I know they're not going to be doing that this week. Maybe they'll do some bad thing some other time. Whatever. I don't care right now. I'm worried about the country. But they create the false equivalency because that's useful to them. And then they also stir up the outrage even further, to get ratings, to virtue signal, to make sure that they, the journos, the Democrats, the establishment of the left, they aren't part of the problem here. So they will say things that are reckless, that are unfair, and that will only make this situation worse. Here is Chris Cuomo on CNN. Play clip 8.
And you know what the answer is? You really do. You don't like it. I don't like it. It scares me. Shootings? Gun laws? Access to weapons? Oh, I know when they'll change. Your kids start getting killed? White people's kids start getting killed? Smoking that doobie that's actually legal probably in your state now, but they don't know what it was, and then the kid runs and it pop, 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 pop. Cop was justified. Why'd you run? Oh, he had a baseball game tonight. Huh. White kid, oh, big family, that house over there? Those start piling up? What is going on with these police? Oh, what? Maybe we shouldn't even have police. That kind of mania, that kind of madness, that'll be you. That'll be the majority, because it's your people. See? Now, black people start getting all guns, forming militias, protect themselves. Can't trust the deep state. Hoo-hoo! You'll see a wave of change. In access and accountability. We saw it in the 60s. That's when it changes.
Chris Cuomo is a reckless moron. And what he's saying here is untrue, it's idiotic, and it's deeply irresponsible. but he works for CNN, which is really morally equivalent now to Pravda in the 1930s. I mean, CNN is a disgusting disgrace of not even journalism. It's not even a good propaganda outlet. They're not even good at it. The people that are saying this stuff aren't smart or talented. It's just a legacy institution that has been corrupted. Whatever it used to stand for in the 80s or 90s, it's always been liberal, but now it's just defiled it. What, white people aren't killed by cops, Chris Cuomo? You utter buffoon. This guy knows nothing about law enforcement. What he does know about is probably all the skirt chasing and grabbing that his brother, the governor of New York, was doing. I'm sure they chatted about that over the years quite a bit. Nothing about law enforcement, nothing about the truth of crime in cities and what cops are dealing with day in and day out, and just racializes this issue in the most disgusting fashion. White people are killed by cops in larger numbers than any other group, by the way. So why is he saying that? Is that really what happens? Someone happens to be smoking a doobie and then cops just shoot them? Is that what happens? Show me an incident of that. Show me one. And then I'll say that Chris Cuomo is not a reckless moron. He is a reckless moron. But he panders. He panders to the cowardly libs who watch CNN in their overwhelmingly safe neighborhoods, voting for Biden and crying about climate change and triple masking and thinking to themselves, oh, I stand in solidarity with BLM. Until they hear something in the alleyway nearby. And then you know what they do? They reach for the phone, they call the cops, and they want them to arrive as quickly as possible. And if they don't, they'll write a letter to the mayor because they know somebody. I know you might be thinking, well, we can't expect any more from the disgusting, dishonest journos. I mean, they're always going to be grotesque in the way they approach these things. Whatever benefits them, while they pretend to be helping other people, whatever benefits them is what they will do. Whatever makes them feel good, whatever virtue signaling they can accomplish. Okay, let's go beyond that then. What about political leadership? Do you think the Democrats right now, those who have a real national voice, are they really calling for calm and peaceful protest? I don't mean in a half-hearted way. Where's AOC? Why doesn't she do one of her gibberish Instagram lives where she's kind of babbling about whatever? Why doesn't she take a moment to say, hey, guys, look, peaceful protest is in the greatest traditions of America. Have your voices heard. Gather on the streets. But be respectful of law enforcement as you're doing so. Be respectful of your fellow citizens. Break no law, because we lose moral clarity when we do so. We lose any moral high ground we think we have. They could do that. Prominent Democrats could actually work against this possibility of riots and maybe save a few dozen businesses, a few hundred livelihoods in the process. Maybe they could do that. And the message would still be heard. I have no problem, and I know neither do you, with people having their voices heard. If people are angry about policing and people want police reform, absolutely. In the public square, hold up your placards, talk about that, organize, vote for people that you think are going to do things like defund the police, which is idiotic, but you're allowed to. You're allowed to. But why the riots? Why the mayhem? At some level, you have to see this for what it is. It's meant as intimidation. These people on the streets who are angry and who will have their actions justified by Democrat millionaires talking across the nation to people who overwhelmingly live on the East and West Coast, or perhaps in Chicago or a few other major cities, and live in the fancy neighborhoods there, but they watch CNN. They don't really care what happens in these places. It's all performance theater to them. It's all just whatever gets the attention for the cause in the moment. It's a hashtag, you see. It's BLM, or putting a black square on your Instagram. That's what, you know, these college graduates from the liberal arts education, learning nothing but critical race theory and a whole bunch of other garbage that only divides and destroys society. That's what this really turns into for them. It's not their store or neighborhood that's going to be ruined, so they don't really care. Maxine Waters is a member of Congress, a very well-known one, a congresswoman from Los Angeles. And here is her message. You should hear this. Her message to protesters in this particularly combustible moment. Here's what she says. Play 19.
Not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Congressman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens...
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Get more confrontational. Make sure they know we mean business. This is a longtime sitting member of Congress with a national platform. I mean, you've got people making downtown Minneapolis look like parts of the green zone, and I know because I spent quite some time in the green zone in Baghdad, and she's saying, let's up the ante. Let's go in even more on this. She even says it's murder one, which Chauvin isn't charged with. To give you a sense of her ability to analyze this as a function of justice and decency and humanity, she thinks he should be charged even beyond the charges on the table. And by the way, only a moron actually thinks that this guy committed first-degree murder, premeditated or depraved heart murder. No, sorry. That would never. There's a reason why, even in this heated moment, the prosecutors didn't charge that. It's an overcharge, in my opinion. Now, this one is a little bit more of a debate, but to even have charged felony murder, murder two. The only real question here is, did Officer Chauvin, as a legal matter, commit manslaughter? And based on everything that I've seen and heard from the trial, it seems to me that there is certainly... Now, I'm not saying what Chauvin did was... I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it was okay. That video does look awful. But is there a reasonable doubt under the circumstances, given the cause of death and given the situation that led up to the prone hold on the street? Remember, it has to be beyond any reasonable doubt. That is the standard. And I do not believe the prosecution has met that standard. Meanwhile, Maxine Waters is out there basically giving a wink and a nod to the would-be rioters out there, saying nothing's going to be enough because really they didn't even charge how evil and awful this man is. This is our political class. These are our journalists out there, folks. And they are egging on the mayhem and the destruction before it even starts. I've been warning you about the forever lockdown for a while here. Forever mask mandates. You're getting more and more indications that there are some people who are pushing for it. Mask forever. What's the big deal? Wear a mask forever. You can't go outside without a mask. You can never breathe normally again in public. That's what some people want for you. That's really the future that they're advocating for. Because they're lunatics. But there's a lot of, oh, why don't you take the virus seriously, Buck? I take it very seriously. I had the virus. I take it quite seriously. I'm just not crazy. But you got to be prepared to do a lot of your own cooking in some of these places going forward. And cooking is a good thing to do regardless. I actually really enjoy it. I think it's fun. And you want to have the best product possible on hand. So you've got to try Moink, okay? Moink is an amazing company that brings to you grass-finished beef, grass-fed, pasteurized pork. They've got amazing chicken, wild-caught Alaskan salmon. Over the weekend, I did my first full chicken, courtesy of Moink. So I keep it in the freezer. It's so convenient. I thawed it out, and then I just made a pretty straightforward recipe, and I'll put this up for everyone to see on social media soon, where I roasted a whole chicken from Moink. It was the best chicken I've ever had. And it came right out of my freezer, just thawed it out 24 hours later, boom, make a simple recipe. And this is top quality meat. You want to have the best product. You've got to at home when you're going to be cooking. And so Moink will send it to you in a box. It's frozen, ready to go. You put it right in your freezer. And it's just the most delicious, succulent chicken, steak, pork you've ever had. The salmon's incredible, too. These animals are raised outdoors. Their fish swim in the wild and then in the ocean. And Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk you'll find prepackaged in the meat site, okay? Join the Moink movement today, like I'm in. Go to moinkbox.com/buck. That's Moink, M-O-I-N-K, moinkbox.com/buck right now. And listeners to this show get free ground beef for a year. The ground beef is delicious. moinkbox.com/buck, moinkbox.com/buck.
Why does a vaccinated person have to wear a mask?
Okay, this is something that as we get more information, it's going to be pulling back that you won't have to. But currently the reason is that when you get vaccinated, you are clearly diminishing dramatically your risk of getting infected. That's one of the things we've got to make sure everybody understands. You dramatically diminish it. However, what happens is that you might get infected and get absolutely no symptoms, not know you're infected, and then inadvertently go into a situation with vulnerable people. And if you don't have a mask, you might inadvertently infect them. Now, there's a small risk of that, but it's there. The other thing is that there may be variants that are circulating. We know New York area has their own variant, a 526. There's a South African variant. Fortunately for us, Chuck, the 117 variant that is dominant in Europe and in UK is right. also now dominant in the United States. Thank goodness the vaccine works very well against that variant.
So then why the hell is he bringing up variants as some justification for continued restrictions after vaccination for individuals? You know, there are variants, but, you know, fortunately the vaccine works, you know, against the variants too. Okay, so then why are you bringing up the, oh, just got to throw something in there. Let's get really down into this, because this is a hill that we need to fight on. We need to dig in on this, okay? This is, and I'm not even going to get into today. A lot of you, I understand, have concerns about those at low risk getting vaccinated. You know, should I am opposed to mandatory vaccination, as you know, I'm opposed to vaccine passports. And people are, you know, who have reached out to me. I always appreciate the feedback I get from this audience, because they say, OK, Buck, you say low risk. So children, should children get vaccinated? I say, well, no, of course not. That seems crazy. Why would children get vaccinated? They clear this virus without even knowing they have it, and they clear it very, very rapidly, and then they're immune. Doesn't make any sense. And they don't pass it to adults at any real rate. I mean, anything can happen in the world of epidemiology, right? But we can't base our public health policy on that. So why does the little health Stalinist, Dr. Fasci, why is he making this claim about how, you know, he's saying we all should get vaccinated, but you still have to obey all the restrictions. You still got to do all the annoying stuff. Why? Oh, because, you know, you could still inadvertently, as an asymptomatic, you know, you could still. Yeah, but let's work this through together. The vaccines, we're told, are over 90% effective by and large. And the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, the double shots, they're 94 and above. So that means that of people who were vaccinated in a huge trial of over 30,000 people, there, let's say, were 4% of people who got the virus. But remember, 4 or 5%. But remember, the numbers here also don't take into account that those people who got it had very mild cases, and it's less likely, because viral load really matters, it's less likely they'd even be able to spread it to somebody else, because their immune system is very good at handling it. And that's why there are, you know, people aren't getting hospitalized, people aren't dying who get the vaccine in any real numbers, right? Something can always happen. If you're going to base, this is the fundamental point I want to start with here. If you're going to base health policy on the outlier situation, we're going to live in constant fear and terror. If you're going to base health policy on what is theoretically possible and then shut down everyone else, like when I say things like vaccinated people can't, if I say vaccinated people can't really pass or are highly unlikely to pass the virus to anyone else, they say, oh, but it's still possible. Okay, but anything is possible. We're looking at the percentages here. We're looking at the risk factors. But they use the outlier to control you. They use the 1 in 10,000 chance of something actually happening. A vaccinated person managing to transfer it to somebody. Remember, the vaccinated person has to get infected and give it to someone, and that person has to have a, you know, a severe reaction to it at some, or give it to somebody else who does. You start to go down the chain of transmission here. You're talking about, I mean, you can do the some of the odds on this yourself. You know, do a 1 in 100 over 1 in 100. You know, you can do the math. You start to go, okay, we'll get to 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000,000. And we're going to live our lives with this nonsense because Fauci doesn't want to give up control. That's what this is really all about. That's what really motivates all of this. It's not that vaccinated people really pose a risk of transmission in a public health context in any meaningful sense. People keep saying, we don't know the numbers. 100 years of vaccination epidemiology tells us that it is, this is our way out. This is the end. But there are people who don't want it to be the end. There are people who go, no, we need booster shots, and then there's variants, and there's a... Now we're getting into the debate that I knew we were going to head to all along, which is, so this never goes away? Their argument that they're making, that there's always a chance that there are variants, that you'll need boosters, is that these health restrictions are with us forever, for the rest of your life, whenever the public health bureaucrats decide so. That's it. And a lot of people are, you and I hear that, and I mean, I want to throw up all over my microphone just even saying that, because these morons haven't protected us. Their policies have failed. Oh, that's right. Look at Mississippi and Texas. Look at the numbers. I ask you this. Look at Mississippi and Texas. Look at the numbers and tell me what we're supposed to make of the fact that they've had mask mandates and full reopen. It's not just the mask mandate. All businesses fully open. Lowest COVID cases in a year. In a year. 12 months. Look at Michigan. Oh, yeah, with Governor Halfwit. Oh, gosh, you know, I've got a pillow of Fauci on the background. Oh, such a moron. A total catastrophe for her state. But here's what she's... This is how pathetic their arguments have gotten. Governor Halfwit, play 11.
Well, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to whether or not everyone does their part. That's the most important thing. This variant, the B117 variant, is what is growing so quickly here in Michigan. We have the second most of it than, I think, right after Florida. At least that was the last data that I saw. Michigan and Florida are not next to each other. But this is the time of the year that snowbirds come home from Florida, where people are going on spring break, and all of these things can contribute to spread. And that's why we're imploring people to take this seriously. Mask up. Get tested. If you've been around someone who's positive, stay home.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I'm just going to throw in there, you know, this is when people come back from Florida. Oh, they're so dangerous in Florida. Florida, as a state government, has kicked Michigan and New York and New Jersey's butts when it comes to COVID response. It's not even close. Because remember, it's not just the infection numbers. It's also those numbers and then the individual freedoms that are protected and the economy and where all of that stands. And Florida has just put on a clinic for the rest of them. And that's why Governor Ron DeSantis is so, they hate him so much, because he's proven, one, what better governance looks like, what decent government looks like during a pandemic, and two, thanks to him, we have the results to show that Fauciism, lockdown, be terrified, double mask outside, all this stuff, Fauciism is absurd, it's deeply destructive, and it was completely unnecessary. That mindset did not help us, did not save us, actually made everything worse. Fauciism, like the BLM movement, really just makes everything worse for everyone. Here is Governor Ron DeSantis telling it like it is. Again, play 6.
I think the messaging on this has been horrific. The messaging should be, get a vaccine because it's good for you to do it. It works. You're not going to have to be doing anything like abnormal. You can live your life. I mean, that has got to be what the message is. Unfortunately, I think the message has been very muddled when you tell people, oh, yeah, yeah, this is important. Go get the vaccine. But then you still got a social day. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't eat in a restaurant. Some of the people are still saying that kind of stuff. I think it's a huge, huge blunder to be able to do it. So the challenge for us is going to be we're going to have vaccine available and you're not going to be able to probably fill up the appointments. And I think that that's going to be consistent throughout the country. So you know, my view is if you get a vaccine, the vaccines are effective, you're immune. And so act immune. If you tell people the opposite, then, why, if it's not effective for them and it's not going to change anything, then what's the point of going through it?
Here's the fundamental truth. Okay, here's the basic reality that we have to remember here. The argument on the one side is vaccines are effective enough. It is safe enough for you to live your life normally when vaccinated. By the way, that should also be true for anybody like me who is immune from having had the disease. But vaccines are safe enough, meaning that it's you are safe enough to do whatever, to stop wearing a mask on the damn treadmill, to stop going outside with your mask on, to stop going to restaurants when you've been vaccinated. That's the argument. The other side says, no, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. There's still a chance. There will always still be a chance. So what they're really arguing for is either the absolute power to decide when that chance is acceptable for us, which is strange because they won't tell us what those numbers are, what that looks like. Or they're advocating for this is now your life. Drive in your car on a beautiful day, put the top down, wear your mask. This is what these psycho libs who are so emotionally damaged, who honestly just lack so much of the intestinal fortitude necessary to go through life without being a coward about things. I mean, look, senior citizens have real concern, real risk from this disease, and I understand that. I'm talking about 25-year-olds watching MSNBC too much who are, oh, I'm doing my part by staying home and ordering Uber Eats. I won't go outside until it's totally safe and Fauci says so. I lived my life exactly as I told you. I traveled. I went to events. You know, I obeyed the rules that I had to. I didn't obey the rules that I didn't. And after 13 months, I finally got COVID and I'm fine. And here I am. Never once have been, oh, I can't do that because the COVID's out there. Oh, because I understand what the risk profile is. When I had COVID, yeah, were there times where I thought, wow, I could end up going to the hospital with this, couldn't I? Like, that could happen. Yeah. Wouldn't have changed a thing about how I lived my life for the last year. Not one. It's different than what I tell family members of mine who are over 60. It's different from what I tell people, and, you know, restrictions that I had of contact with them at different times, everything. That's different. But that's reasonable. Fauciism at its core is about unreasonable control and unreasonable panic.
The obvious question is, why are there any restrictions? They're all because in a certain situation, one can get vaccinated, have no clinical disease at all, but get infected and not even know it, and have replication of virus in your nasopharynx and inadvertently transmit it to somebody else who might actually be unvaccinated and get ill. That's the reason why you want to wear a mask.
This guy reminds me, I mean, he's the worst. He is the most loathsome and destructive public health official in living memory. He's done horrible things. I mean, because he is the face and the voice of lockdown, of all the excessive and contradictory and arbitrary restrictions. I mean, he is the guy who has been vocalizing all this. So, yes, I detest his ideas. I detest his failure. But he's held up as a hero. In fact, he got promoted by the Biden administration. Oh, it's very, very enraging here. But what he says, it reminds me of that old game. I think it was called like Mousetrap, where you build this thing where the ball goes down the slide and it lands on the thing and then it touches the other. It hits a spring, which shoots the foot, which goes over to the, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, look, and then the cheese is opened up and the mouse can get to it, right? Oh, you could be, so you could be in the 5% of people who are vaccinated who don't have any, who get the virus, and then you're also going to be in contact. Half the country's had at least some vaccination at this point. Okay. So you're also going to have to be in close contact with somebody who is unvaccinated, and they'll have to get the virus, and transmission of this virus, even at its height, was usually about an R of one, which means you might give it to one other person. And that person then will have a severe reaction to it, which would mean that they're in the, you know, less than 5% of people overall who go to the hospital, less than 1% of people who actually die from this. So your odds to start out with are getting to be at about in the 1 in 10,000 range. Right? I mean, your odds of this actually happening are really small, but totally justified in Fauci's mind. If he can make a theoretical case for this, you have to live with this garbage. If he can make a theoretical case for this, people look at you and me strangely. New York has an outdoor mask mandate, but not if you're social distancing. But do you think that people think of it that way? No. You don't wear a mask outside, you're a bad person. You don't care if people die. That's the attitude here. People have been brainwashed. They're wrong. It's sad. And so many of the people in journalism that push this stuff, they're just not as smart as they think they are. They're just not very bright. You know, they checked all the right boxes to go to a decent enough place to get a decent enough degree to work at some kind of known media entity. But they're jackasses. It's very apparent if you listen to them. Fauci also just doesn't give a crap about any of this stuff. Play five.
You know, Dana, it is quite frustrating because the fact that one may not want to get vaccinated, in this case, a disturbingly large proportion of Republicans, only actually works against where they want to be. They want to be able to say these restrictions that are put on by public health recommendations are things that they're very concerned about. We're all concerned about that. We share that concern. But the way you get rid of those restrictions is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly and as expeditiously as possible, because when that happens, for absolutely certain, you're going to see the level of virus in the community go down and down and down to the point where you would not have to have those public health restrictions. So it's almost paradoxical that on the one hand, they want to be relieved of the restrictions, but on the other hand, they don't want to get vaccinated. It just almost doesn't make any sense.
That's because Fauci is a dumbass and doesn't understand that his messaging is hurting the vaccination campaign substantially. I know for some of you, you keep saying, gosh, Buck really doesn't like Fauci, does he? And I'm sorry, but I see all the frustration and the pain and the downside of his little mandates, which are all based on him being so smart and knowing so much more than the rest of us. And the truth is, I don't think it's helped us. And I think it's hurt us dramatically. And I think it's hurt a lot of businesses, and it's made people more financially stressed out. And this affects livelihoods. This affects people's futures. So you also need to be preparing for your own future. As you can tell, the world is very uncertain, especially these days. And so many of you who are just starting out, whether you're buying a home or just starting to have kids, you're building your wealth. You need to secure your family's future. And part of your to-do list has to be establishing a will or trust. I know this might seem like will or trust at this stage of my life. Yeah, you got to do it now. Okay, you've got to make that preparation. And it's easy to do at trustandwill.com. You can set up an estate plan. It's so convenient and secure. I've been at trustwill.com. I've set up my own. It's no problem. Once you do it, you see, oh, okay. So this is just a thing you got to get done. For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children, determine who would get all your stuff, and plan for future medical care from the comfort of your home. Hiring a traditional estate attorney can cost thousands of dollars, and using a one-size-fits-all template is not specialized enough. Trust and will documents are designed by estate planning experts and customized for the state you live in. Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning. Gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/buck. Get 10% off plus free shipping of the actual customized legal documents you'll get from this. Yeah, that's right. Trustandwill.com/buck. Go right now. You'll get 10% off the normal fee plus free shipping of your customized legal documents. Don't wait. Go right now. Trustandwill.com/buck.
And so if you are a Major League Baseball, you're saying you have to move out of Atlanta because they're having voter ID. Well, what about all the other jurisdictions that you're in that have, quote, more restrictive laws? What about the fact that you're doing business with the Communist Party of China? The fact that you've done business with the Castro regime in Cuba? It doesn't make sense. I think corporate America, by trying to genuflect to this wokeness, I think they've gone down a really bad road. They're going to tie themselves in knots trying to please the extreme left. What I've told people is, if the left is after you, the minute you buckle, you're just painting a bullseye on your back. They're going to keep coming back and back and back. If you just stand your ground, yeah, they'll complain for a couple days. Then they'll move on to the next outrage. And so I think some of these corporate CEOs, they need to grow some backbone, and they need to be willing to stand up and not get pushed in to taking these positions, which is, Maria, as you indicated, it's not based on facts.
No, it's based on the mob mentality. It's based on the threat of boycotts that comes from social media that are often not rooted in the reality of what would even be possible through a boycott. But they try to get people scared right away. They try to get them to take preemptive action. And beyond that, I think you have seen a lot of more left-wing individuals at the very top of some of these powerful corporations. That is happening right now, and that's highly unfortunate. But the politicization of everything, including sports, including who sells you sneakers and who's going to, you know, deliver basic home goods to your door, this is a bad development for the country, and it comes from the left. This is something that we all know culturally, ideologically. This is a left-wing thing. They believe, because politics is ultimately their religion. Some of them think that they can do both, but really their God, to be a true leftist authoritarian today, your God has to be the state and government power. And that's why it's so important for you to have it at all times. I see this going on, and I'm always thinking about, and people ask me constantly, how do we fight back against this? And now my answer has just started to be, we fight. How about that? Let's start from the simplest possible proposition here, that we get in this fight. Say, okay, we're not just going to take this lying down. We're not just going to allow these companies to continue to do these things. We're going to say, enough is enough. If you break trust with us, if you attack us politically, we will find ways to financially, and if we can, even politically punish you down the line. I now believe that Republicans should start to keep what's effectively a corporate enemies list. You know, you could say, oh, but that's McCarthyism. They're already doing McCarthyism to us. By the way, McCarthy was actually right about a lot. They're doing McCarthyism to us. It reminds me a bit of where we were with China, where they said, oh, no, you can't do tariffs on China to start a trade war. And then people who actually knew something about global economic trade said, hold on a second, China's already doing all kinds of things against us. It's a one-way trade war right now. So we either sit here and keep suffering in silence, or we respond. And that's how we should think of the situation with corporate America and these woke companies. I'm very, very pleased to tell you that Mike Lindell, who's a sponsor, as you know, on the show with MyPillow, they make amazing products, and that's why it's become a mega company. But they're under assault by all kinds of left-wing cancel culture loons. And that's why it's so important. I mean, the sponsors on this show, I say this to you all the time. Every time you hear a commercial that's on the Buck Sexton Show for a sponsor, they're great products from companies that support the right of this show and people like me to say the truth. It's not even about my opinion. I mean, it's on a lot of the stuff I'm talking about, it's just the truth. It's just objective reality conveyed to you by somebody who happens to be a conservative. But increasingly, you can recognize that conservatives are the only people who are willing to tell you the truth about a lot of things in America today. So those companies that stand with us are standing with the truth, and you should view them. So you're getting a great product, but you're also voting for truth and standing alongside those who have some courage in corporate America. Mike Lindell's launching Frank today, which is a platform that will actually have free speech for conservatives. and allow for discussion about the elections. One of my biggest outrages over the last year from a media perspective is the fact that that big tech has been so on board with suppression of discussion about COVID. I mean, I'm arguing policy. I've never once said something that is scientifically untrue or factually wrong. I argue policy, meaning here's a judgment call to be made. They think this is reasonable. I think the following is reasonable. That is the heart of politics, trade-offs, judgment, understanding the pluses and the minuses. Don't allow it. Consensus only. Fauciite consensus only about lockdowns. Yeah, like what we see now in Texas and Mississippi are proving in the real world sense, in ways we can all see, that lockdowns did not work. Michigan is locked down. Texas is not. Who's having all the cases right now? Now, you could tell me, oh, but there's so many factors or so many variables. Yeah, there are always so many factors and variables, and lockdowns don't change them. They just make things worse. That's what we're actually seeing. But that you're not allowed to say that. You were not allowed to say that because big tech decided that they were a Fauciite consensus thug operation, right? They will punish you. Shut down your ability to share your thoughts. Shut down your ability to have ideas on this. No more public square. It's shameful what they've done. And people say, oh, Buck, why don't you get off all those platforms? Because that's just unilateral disarmament. Then the only voices you see, then the only news stories, the only editor, we got BuckSexton.com right now. Go check it out. I've got an editorial up on Fauci. I'm making the case. Right. But if I can't push that to you, thankfully, on this show, but also on social media, none of you are going to read it. So what's the point of writing it, right? So please do go to BuckSexton.com. Fauci is the most awful bureaucrat in living memory. Something like that. I wrote the title, but I forget exactly what it is now. But, you know, Fauci is the most destructive bureaucrat in living memory. That's what it is. On BuckSexton.com. Please share it to your pages. You know, I tell you, fight. This means fight. This is how you get into it. By taking the opportunities that you have to support the people who are telling the truth, to support their sponsors, we need to take a top-down approach to this. That's what the left has done, and it's why these lunatic, lockdown, socialist, identity politics, Marxist maniacs have accrued so much power. Because they view this as a zero-sum game. They view this as top-down. We want to control the corporations. We want to control the communication nodes. We want to control the academy. We want to control prosecutors' offices. Look at all the Soros funding of district attorneys. They're doing this ever. They are infiltrating every institution of power and influence in the country with their ideology and controlling them. And we're sitting around saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, I still got to watch CNN and I don't want to support conservative companies because I'm more used to the other companies and, you know. Yeah, that's why we lose. It's on all of us. It's on all of us. I mean, I'm trying to find out, how can I buy sneakers not from Nike? You say, oh, get Adidas. Is Adidas not woke? I don't know. Right. It's hard. I understand that. But there are companies out there, and they advertise on this show, that are saying, no, we stand with free speech. We stand with people who tell the truth. Are you going to them as sponsors? You know, we got to have, as conservatives, this whole country, man, we got to have some tough talk with conservatives. Way too quick to just be like, oh, I'm just going to order on Amazon and use Uber and then do Google and let my data get tracked and get sold and everything. You know, we all sit around. Yeah. You know, it's not all about once every 4 years wearing a tri-corner hat and showing up to a protest. And yeah, I did my part. No, you can do your part every day. Every day you have many ways to vote and have your voice heard and have an impact on the fight for this country's future in ways that may seem small, may seem even insignificant to you at first. But I mean, this show reaches millions of people across the country. That's right. This show reaches millions of people. So if everyone listening does something, you know, this is why we really do have a way forward here. Or we can just leave all collective action, or we can leave all concerted political effort to the other side and, you know, get ready for open borders and get ready for the, you know, the permanent expansion of the racial spoils state, as the Supreme Court has written about it, and get ready for socialism and get ready for defunding police, you know, and then just, you know, make the best use of the time you have left. That's where we are now as a country. Do you care? You have options to show you care right now. Right this day, right this moment. By listening to the show, you're showing you care, of course, but there are many other things I'm telling you you can do. Ron DeSantis knows it. Everybody knows it. The question that remains is, will you take action? Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.